And it is those words in verse 25 tonight. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Dear congregation, the husband, in seeking to fulfill his special duty of loving his wife, ought to consider Christ and his love towards the church. That's what the Apostle Paul encourages here the husband to do. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, we come to consider tonight the special duty of love for the husband. Now, as we think of these duties here in these verses tonight, and the Lord willing, next week, it is good that couples often read these verses through. And I exhort you and encourage you, those of you who are married here tonight, that you are found often reading these verses. For they are aid to you. We need to regularly read them. We need to set aside times that we might give ourselves to the careful study of them. On a wedding anniversary, it's good to read these verses through. To review our duties. The Puritan Richard Steele wrote, 1629 to 1693, reviewing these duties should humble us for our past failures and challenge us to a future improvement. Reviewing these duties will humble us for our past failures and challenge us to future improvement. We look back, but then we look to the future. It's good that we're found often going through these things. Well, here tonight then, we come to consider the special duty of the husband. It is to love. We notice these words in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. We have here then this special duty. Lord willing, next week we'll consider the special duty of the wife. We notice it in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, before we particularly notice this duty for the husband tonight, I'd like us to just briefly consider those duties which belong to both alike or are mutual duties. We'll just briefly do this, then we'll come to consider the special duty of the husband. Well, we'll touch on a few. I was reading a book earlier today, and one particular minister has found nearly 42 duties. 42 mutual duties. But we'll just consider briefly a number tonight. First of all, love. Now, in a moment, we'll consider it's the special duty of the husband, particularly the husband is to be known for loving his wife, but it is also a mutual duty. There's to be love. The husband is to love his wife. The wife is to love her husband. There's to be a real, sincere, tender and abundant love. Love in the marriage is to be like a vast, mighty ocean, rather than a weak trickle of water. Well, let's consider this. And two verses to show the scriptural warrant for mutual love. First of all, Colossians 3 and verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And then, turning to consider the duty of the wife in view of love, Titus 2 verse 4. That they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. They're the older ones teaching the younger to love their husbands and to love their children. And so you see, with those two verses, we see the truth of mutual love. Both are to faithfully show love one to another. Love is to be demonstrated in spiritual ways, practical ways, and in physical ways as well. The wife is to know she is loved. And so likewise, the husband. There's mutual love. Now just consider, both share one house and one bed. They have much to talk about in the home, much to share with as being brought together. Remember, we considered a month or so ago, companionship. They've been brought together and they have much to share. Love is so vital. They need to help each other, work together, plan together, worship together. Love is so vital. And love, as we think of those things, is an aid to fulfillment of them. There's the mutual duty of love. Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Let your hearts be tightly knitted together in love. Think, speak, and do loving things. Spend time together in spiritual activities to strengthen the bond of love. There's to be mutual love. Secondly, prayer. If we think of mutual duty, secondly, prayer. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as heirs being together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Through grace, you've been so blessed, you're there together, and you're there praying. I mean, notice there the word is in the plural. Your prayers. The prayers of the husband and the prayers of the wife. Couples are to be praying couples. And what differences we would see in the nation if all couples began to pray. Couples are to be praying couples. There is that duty. In 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5, we consider further special times of prayer when the couple will abstain from intimacy for a while so as to give themselves to prayer. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. You see that special season of prayer. Husbands, you are to do your duty in praying. And wives, you are to do your duty as well. And you wives here tonight, you need your husband's prayers. And you husbands here tonight, you need your wife's prayers. There's so much to pray for, isn't there? So much to pray for your husband and vice versa. He needs your prayers, she needs your prayers. There's the mutual duty of prayer. Thirdly, faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2, nevertheless to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Faithfulness. That's so important. A man is to be faithful to his wife, and a wife is to be faithful to her husband. Think of the man, he is not to look elsewhere. Now we need to be careful with our eyes and with our ears. You recall John Bunyan? He wrote concerning eye gate and ear gate. Through the eye, through the ear, things come into the heart and mind. We need to be careful. What comes before the eye gate and what comes before the ear gate? Temptations can arise. Words can be spoken. There needs to be a saying no. We considered a month or so ago the rise of emotional affairs, even amongst Christians. Believers need to be so careful. Sadly, many have been unfaithful. They have forgotten their duty. There is the mutual duty of faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2, nevertheless to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. How important that duty is. Moving on, we consider fourthly, benevolence. Benevolence. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Now the particular word, Greek word, speaks of kindness, goodwill. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 7, and the following verse, plainly what the apostle is teaching there is to be the kindness shown in a physical, intimate way between a husband and wife. Now we're told it is due, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3. Therefore the couple are to engage in it, health permitting, for the glory of God. The Puritan William Goodge wrote, "It must be performed with goodwill and delight, willingly, readily, and cheerfully. So it is said to be due because it is debt which the wife oweth to her husband, and he to her." That mutual duty. Let the husband, and likewise also the wife, unto the husband. Now if you notice the previous duty, faithfulness, the fourth duty we are considering here is an aid to the previous duty. The two go together. Fifthly, helping each other. Helping each other. That is a mutual duty. Genesis 2 verse 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." She was brought to Adam as one suitable who would help and meet his needs. She was a helpmeet. She helped Adam, and Adam would help Eve. The wife is there to help, and so is the husband. There is the duty of help. 1 Peter 3 verse 7, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Now we think of the wife being a helpmeet. Do you not we see in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, the assistance the husband can so be to his wife. Helping. Helping in spiritual duties. And helping in practical things as well. Helping in a spiritual way. And what a blessing to have one who helps in that way, to pray with, to talk together over the word, to read the word, to sing together, to listen. To listen to one's concerns. They come up against some situation in their life and they're looking to the word of God and they're asking the Lord for direction. What a blessing that the other spouse can help that one in guiding them in spiritual things. Helping in spiritual duties. And then secondly, in practical things. To help. If the husband sees his wife struggling with putting a screw in the wall, if he's able, he can help her. If the wife sees her husband struggling with putting a tie on or sewing a button, she can go and help him. My grandfather and grandmother used to help each other very much on the farm, and they used to be told stories of what they used to do. And my grandfather, he would look out to the cattle. The granny would help him. He would deal with the cows. She would deal with the calves in order to help. She helped him, and he helped her. He used to milk the cows and bring the milk in for his wife so she could make the butter. And the cream first, then butter. They used to help each other very much. As a grandson, I used to help by eating what granny had made. But they're my grandparents. They helped each other. And I always remember them. They were a really good example of helping each other. They worked together. Help where you can. Now, you husbands may not be able to help in some things, and vice versa. But help where you can. Listen again to the Puritan William Goodge. "The man and the wife might be a mutual help one to another. A help as for bringing forth, so for bringing up children. And as for erecting, so for well governing their family. A help in health and sickness. A help while both living together. And when one is by death taken from the other. In this respect, it is said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Which by the rule of relation is true also of an husband." There to help. That's interesting what the Puritan there, William Goodge, writes. A help when one is taken, one by death taken from another. And you can think of the husband. He seeks to so help, maybe by leaving some money or something else, that when he is gone, his wife is provided for. There's an illustration there. Well, we think then of this mutual duty of help. So then, there's many duties. We've just touched on five tonight. Duties belonging to both alike, or mutual duties. But now we come, particularly for the rest of the time, to consider the special duty of the husband, that being love. Just notice verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now when we think of the duties of the husband, the special duty we're particularly focusing on tonight in verse 25 is love. But let's remember there is another duty, and we see that particularly in the previous verses. It's implied there from verse 22 to verse 24, the duty of authority. But let's particularly consider tonight the special duty of the husband, that is love. And we'll break this up, and if we have not got the time to conclude, we'll carry on next week. First of all, the special duty of the husband. Secondly, the demonstration of a husband's love. And thirdly, the example of Christ the Beloved. The special duty of the husband, the demonstration of a husband's love, and thirdly, the example of Christ the Beloved. Well, let's consider first of all then the special duty of the husband. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, as we have seen, the wife, in fulfilling her mutual duty, will seek to so love her husband. It's a mutual duty. But we particularly focus, it is the special duty of the husband. The wife is to love her husband, the husband is to love his wife. Particularly, the husband is to be known for loving. Husbands, love your wives. Here's the special duty then. Let's open this up. Firstly, God instructs the husband to love and requires it. God instructs the husband to love and requires it. Love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. The Lord is speaking here. The Lord instructs us. And we who are husbands here, it's a word from the Lord, isn't it? The Lord inspired the apostle to write, husbands, love your wives. That's what the Lord is instructing us husbands here tonight. And it's required. Remember those words in Micah 6 verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We're to do justly, so we are to love our wives, you husbands. We're to love mercy. In mercy we are to love. And in walking humbly with God, husbands are to love their wives. If we're going to walk humbly with God, we have a concern for this duty here, you husbands. God instructs the husband to love and requires it. It's not an option. It's a requirement. As we think of this special duty, the Lord instructs and requires the husband to love his wife. You see, the husband is answerable to the Lord. The husband is answerable to the Lord if there's bitter words and loving acts. The husband is answerable. Secondly here, as we think of the special duty, the husband has entered into a marriage covenant along with the wife and has made his promise to love. If you recall, a month ago or so, we considered that marriage is a covenant, a solemn covenant. That's how it ought to be, seen as a solemn covenant. Promises are made. And the Lord noted the promise of the husband. He noted it. Therefore, he notes when the husband does not act in a loving way and breaks his promise. The husband entered into a marriage covenant and made his promise. And you who are husbands, you've promised, haven't you? To love your wife. Thirdly, it is vital and is a blessing to the wife. It is vital and is a blessing to the wife. God instructs and requires. The husband has entered into a marriage covenant and he has made his vow to love, and it's vital. She needs the special love of her husband. It's vital. She needs his loving words, his loving actions, his loving care. It's vital. husbands here tonight, remember, it's vital for your wife that you so love her. She has a right to your love. She needs it and will benefit from it. You wives here, you are blessed through loving husbands. The husband is instructed to love his wife so that the wife is blessed. Husbands, love your wife. Just focus on the object here, the wife. Husbands, love your wives. And through you loving that she might be blessed. You see, the husband is blessed by the wife submitting. The wife will be blessed by the husband loving. Love your wives. With a love that is real, a love that is sincere, a love that is abundant, a love that is lasting. Let it be love's enduring story in the marriage. Let the heart of the husband be always towards his wife, who loves him. We see this in the Proverbs 5, verse 18 and verse 19. Proverbs 5, verse 18 and verse 19. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. There's the husband, taken by the love of his wife, and he so loves her. And what do we read? Always. A lasting love. You see how the scripture so opens us up. A real love. We'll see that a bit later. A sincere love. An abundant love. We have the example of Christ. An enduring love. Proverbs 5 verse 19. Always. So you husbands here, and I address myself as well, we're to be thinking about our duty often. Because we're always to be aiming at so loving our wives. It's to be a lasting love. Husbands, love your wives. Well, let's move on and consider secondly tonight the demonstration of a husband's love. The demonstration of a husband's love. Husbands, love your wives. There's to be activity there. It's not just words. There's actions to accompany the words. There's real activity. And so it's sincere. And so further that the words one says come from a true heart of love. Husbands, love your wives. Love is to be clearly observed in the husband. Genesis 24 verse 67. Remember Isaac? A wife had been found for him. Genesis 24 verse 67, Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What are we told? He loved her. For all to observe and for us to read. It's observable, the husband's love, so it ought to be. Husbands, love your wives. So that the wife can say, he's a loving husband. He does love me. The wife should be able to say each and every day without a shadow of doubt, my husband loves me. Others should take note that he's a loving husband. What are we told of Isaac? He loved her. It was known. His love was demonstrated. Well, let's think of this then. The demonstration of a husband's love. First of all, love demonstrated through kindness. Love demonstrated through kindness. Colossians 3 verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Bitter words and actions hurt the wife. It can cause much sorrow. Such words the husband needs to repent on. And those of us husbands here tonight, we need to examine our words. We need to examine our actions. If we fall, we must repent. And we must say sorry to our wives. There's no perfect husband. So we must be willing to say sorry if we fail our wives, we husbands here tonight. For bitter words and actions can hurt the wife and cause much sorrow. There's to be kindness, and our love is to be demonstrated through it. In Ephesians 4 verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour or crying out and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let all bitterness be put away. And if that's true of every Christian, it's true of the husband who loves the Lord as well. Let bitterness be put away. Let the husband's love be demonstrated through kindness, kind words, kind actions. And if there is the need for reproof, it's done in kindness. Remember the example of our Lord. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So if there is the need of a gentle reproof, love is to be demonstrated in the way that it is said in kindness. Let the wife know that she is loved by the kind words and the kind actions. Moving on, secondly, love demonstrated through encouragements. Love demonstrated through encouragements. Proverbs 31 verse 28. Interesting verse. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. He speaks well of her. He praises her. He speaks to her and encourages her. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Saying thank you is so important. Giving her other encouragements is scriptural, as we see in Proverbs 31 verse 28. It's good just to simply talk, isn't it? Thank you so much for what you're doing. It's really good what you have done. If she makes her husband a lovely meal, he ought to praise her. And not just because he wants that meal again. My wife makes superb coffee Americanos. You know what Americanos are? And I get quite a few of them. But she makes them well. Show love by encouraging. Demonstrate, the husband is to demonstrate his love by giving good encouragements. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praiseth her. Husbands, love your wives. So encourage your wife. Thirdly, love demonstrated through comforting the wife. Love demonstrated through comforting the wife. You remember David and Bathsheba. They lost their little one. Afterwards we're told this in 2 Samuel 12 verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. He loved her. He comforted her. He was grieving. She was grieving. He comforted her. He showed his love. He demonstrated his love by coming to Bathsheba and comforting her. There are times when the wife is hurting. The husband seeing this is to demonstrate his love towards her by comforting her. Let's use a few illustrations here. By praying. Let's pray about this. Let's turn to the Word of God. Let's talk about this in light of the Word of God. A listening ear. That's the way one can comfort, is it not? They talk, but then they listen as well. They give opportunity for the wife to speak. Put your arm around your wife. Demonstrate one's love through comforting the wife. Fourthly, love demonstrated through trusting the wife. Love demonstrated through trusting the wife. This time, Proverbs 31, verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now we're particularly considering there, he trusts her in the domestic affairs. She has many things to arrange and attend to in the home. There are the affairs of the home, there are the domestic affairs to be attended to. The husband trusts his wife, and he demonstrates his love by trusting her in these things and in other things. Note those words, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. It comes from his heart, doesn't it? He loves his wife. And he so loves, and he sees his wife doing that which is right, and so he just trusts her and trusts her. Love demonstrated through trusting the wife. The wife is to recognize that and so act as to be trusted in all things. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. What a demonstration of the husband's love. Fifthly, love demonstrated through seeking the spiritual good of the wife. Love demonstrated through seeking the spiritual good of the wife. Proverbs 2 verse 17 we read, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She's forsaken someone. She's forgotten God, but she's forsaken also her guide, her husband, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. He was a guide and sought to do that which was right. The husband is a guide. And he is to seek to do that which is right in practical things, but also in spiritual things for her good. To lead his wife in spiritual things for her good. Note those words again. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth. Love is to be demonstrated then through seeking the spiritual good of the wife. That guiding. I so love my wife, will say the husband, that I will seek to guide her for her spiritual well-being. As we see in these verses here before us tonight, Christ acted for the good of the church out of love. So husbands are to act for the good of his wife out of love. Sixthly, love demonstrated through exercising authority over the wife. Love demonstrated through exercising authority over the wife. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. We see that headship there. Now just notice verse 22 forwards. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of the body. We see that place of authority that the husband has. Now his love is to be demonstrated through good authority. Notice how these things just follow on. We already mentioned tonight that duty of authority. And it's implied, isn't it, from verse 22 to verse 24. And then afterwards we come to consider the special duty of love. So the husband must, in a good way, rule, rather lead. He has that authority, and it's to be a demonstration of his love. The Puritan Richard Still taught, it is one of the effects of his love. It was one of the effects of his love, that is, to have the authority and do that which is good. Well, let there then be the demonstrations of a husband's love. It's to be observed, like it was in the life of Isaac. Let it be observed in our lives, husbands here tonight. Well, thirdly and finally, as we draw to a close, the example of Christ to the loved. The example of Christ to the loved. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself we have here the example of our beloved Saviour. Now the husband will never be able to equal the love of Christ, for his love did always and does surpass the love of a man. We who are husbands here tonight will never equal the love of Christ. However, there are to be those qualities evidenced which are similar, what we see here rather in these verses. The qualities evidence in the husband's love. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We're never equal his love, but there are to be those qualities which we see in the love of Christ evident in the husband's life. And as we close, just go through these points. First of all, real. Christ had a real love for the church. And dear brethren, are we not thankful for that? He loved us. We were on his heart. Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul did not question the truth of the love of Christ. He knew it was real. Who loved me? There's to be that quality. It's a real love. Dear brethren, here tonight, we know the love of Christ is real. The wife is to contemplate over and over again that my husband's love is real. Genesis 24 verse 67, which is simply told of Isaac, and he loved her. It wasn't questioned. There was no doubt. It was noted. It was known. He loved her. Firstly, real. Think of the love of Christ. It was real. Secondly, sincere. Thinking of those words in John 11, verse 36. Remember, our Lord is near the tomb of Lazarus. Then said the Jews, they beheld him weeping. Behold how he loved him. Behold how he loved him. It was sincere. He was weeping. Yes, we know he was weeping because of the Jews. We know he was weeping because of Mary, but we know particularly he was weeping because of Lazarus. And those Jews recognized it. Behold how he loved them. They saw the sincere tears. Sincere love. No question. Our Lord so loved Lazarus, and it was sincere. And so the husband's love is not only to be real, but sincere. Genuine love. The wife is to observe, I would say daily, if possible, the husband's sincere love. One may say, well, my husband must be away for a while. Well, we've got modern technology, haven't we? And we can send many texts in a day. Let the wife see her husband's sincere love, if possible, every day. Thirdly, great. Now we've considered tonight that the husband will never equal the love of Christ, but the husband's love is to be great, as Christ's love was great. John 15 verse 13, greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love. Christ's love is so great, but there is to be this quality in the husband. His love is great, not just small. It's great. It's known. It's real. It's sincere. It's great. The wife should be able to say every day, my husband so loves me. Fourthly, sacrificial. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He so loved the church, he laid down his life for it. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life. He gave it. He sacrificed his life. He was the sacrifice. You husbands here, you're willing, are you not, to sacrifice your life, if you're called upon to do so, for your wife? Let me use a simple illustration. If your wife was in great danger, you would go and shield her, if possible, even if it was a risk to your own life. Sacrificial love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The wife, as often as it has been pointed out, is to submit. But the husband is to be ready to give his life to the one who submits to him. Fifthly, and finally, last thing. When we think of the love of Christ, it is lasting. John 13 verse 1, Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And note those words there, having loved, he loved them unto the end. He loved them to the end of his life upon the cross, but then he continued to love them. Further, he will love his people till they are found in that final state of glory, till the end. But then if you consider that final state of glory, it is the eternal final state of glory. The love of Christ is enduring. It's lasting. There's to be that quality in the husband, that his love is lasting. Not just for a few days after they've got married, but for many days. Not just once a week, then there's a break. No, enduring, lasting. Well, we have here the example of Christ tonight. And I think of this duty. And then when I consider the example of Christ, I feel my smallness. But oh, may the Lord help us in these things. Let the husband be known for being a loving husband. Finally, as we consider the great example of Christ, that he came into the world to redeem us, do you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ is an aid to the husband in loving his wife? And we who love the Lord, because we've been blessed through Christ in the gospel, we should be leading the world in the way we love our spouse. May the Lord help us, for his name's sake. Amen.